I wouldn't take nothing from Brother Andy.
I'm glad. I agree with you. But he also leaned up. When he looked around, we started in church, and the crowd was, you know, kind of down. And he said, "Reckon somebody told him we was preaching today." It was let out. I don't know. It was great last night. Spirit of the Lord, so wonderful here. And I love coming back to Keene Mountain. And just Brother Joey preached so great last night. And I was telling my wife about the service and how great he had preached. And I said, you know, before it was over, I got a promise from the Lord. Yeah. Well, she got excited. She said, "Well, tell me about it." I said, "Well, it looked and sounded a lot like Brother Jeff, but I know it's from the Lord, because he told me it's going to be one chocolate pound cakes here for me today." I took that, you know, as a word from the Lord. Woo, I'm telling you, Brother Joey, we have the word. We have the word. Hallelujah. And I went back last night. I trying to get a hold of the mind of the Lord, and I don't know. Brother Randy has rubbed off on me or something. I just seemed like I couldn't get a hold of it till I got here, and just praying about it for a long time, because evidently I signed a contract at some point in my life that I'd preach on Tuesday mornings here. I don't remember, and I know if I pressed Brother Randy, he couldn't find it if I did. But we'll just go ahead and honor his wishes. But I went back to the room, and I just set the altar last night. I felt the Lord just drop something in my heart, and went back to the room and look for that little notebook they have there in Super 8. You know, they have that little notepad. And I kind of panicked because I couldn't find it. Well, I found it, and then there were just two or three sheets of paper in it. And then I remembered that woman at the front desk telling me how long she had known Randy Webb. And I'm not accusing him of anything, but it would be kind of funny. Go in there and take that paper, because the more paper he's got, the longer he may preach. I don't know. I'm not accusing him of that, but anyway, here we go. So good to be here today, and looking forward to hearing from Brother Charles, just one of my heroes in the faith. And I'll just be very specific in what the Lord dealt with me about today. And really, I probably not for everybody, but I felt like the Lord put something on my heart. And really, if I knew who it was, I'd just save everybody else and just tell you. And then we go right on to Brother Charles. But I don't know where it's going, so I guess I'm going to have to put this to the rest of us. But if we look in Mark chapter number 1, and verse number 40, Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 40, and I'll just read through verse number 42. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him. Let's just all stand together. I don't want to start with a divided congregation. Some are standing. If you're able, stand with us. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, well, I love that, unto him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, there's that word, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Here's what the Lord dealt with my heart about. I want you to notice the progression of this. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. And then he came back and said, I will, be thou clean. But it's that touch. I want to talk about that touch today for just a few minutes. I want to talk about a touch for the untouchable. A touch for the untouchable. Would you lift your hands and ask the Lord to anoint his word today? Father, thank you, Lord, for what we've already felt. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. Lord, anoint your word this morning. Lord, you know the soul that needs to hear from heaven. God, would you anoint these lips of clay? Anoint us, Lord. anoint the word and let it go home in the heart of the hearer this morning, we pray. We ask it in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Etymologists tell me that that word untouchable in its essence begin as an adjective. It's just used to describe a group or something that's undesirable, intangible, or something that can't be grasped or touched. But the tragedy is that over time, that word became more than an adjective. It became a noun. It became a word that was descriptive of a group of people, untouchables. They tell me that in the Hindu religion, there's over 160 million people who are classified as untouchables in that caste system. They're the lowest level. They have the lowest jobs, the most menial tasks, and the tragedy of it is, if I understand it right, what they tell me in their belief that if you're an untouchable, there's no hope to get out of that. Now, if you're in another level of the caste, you can be reincarnated up the ladder. But if you're an untouchable, you're just stuck right there where you are. No hope of improvement. Now, in our Western culture, that kind of we recoil at the thought of having a group of people and that they are untouchables, that we can't, and it really we draw back from it. But I know that the lines are not clearly marked, and we don't have it classified that way, but they're there and they are real. And even in the house of God, there are those who come to that place that, let whether we say it or not, they feel like that you're untouchable. Some people have just been born into that experience. They're born on the wrong side of the tracks. They're born into a bad situation. And because of that, they grow up really thinking, I'm just part of the untouchables. I'll never be able to get out of the mess that I was born in. Or maybe there are those like that man on the way down from Jerusalem to Jericho who fell among thieves. He just fell into the wrong crowd, and it left him as somebody that the priests and the Levites thought were untouchable. And sometimes we get into that classification just by bad decisions. Things that we've done, decisions we've made. But whatever it is, the world has always had its untouchables. And you could ask the man in our text today, for he had got to that place. He had become one of those for which society had no answer. As far as society's concerned, he's untouchable. Nobody has an answer. He's defined and he's dominated by that disease in his life. It just dominates him. It defines him. He is a leper. He's untouchable. Everything he does, everywhere he goes, his whole life, he's now become part of that lower caste. He's become part of that group. He's untouchable. But really, there are those even here today that you don't need to ask anybody about what that feels like, because life has a way, and others, sometimes it's not even your decision. It's a decision that somebody else made for you, and it left you into that place that you feel like that I am part of those untouchables. That when we have services like we did last night and the grace of God moves into the house of God, you don't feel like it ever gets back to where I'm at. It ever fully breaks through because I have become that one that's untouchable. I don't know where you're at today, but I know at the altar here last night that the Lord touched my heart with this thought. And I want to preach just a few minutes this morning and remind you of this story, that there is one who came to touch the untouchable. There is one who came to leave the 99 and go after that one that's in that condition, that one that don't have an answer. I don't have the answer. I do not know what to tell you this morning, but I know who to tell you about. I don't know how to tell you the
save that relationship. I don't know how to tell you to turn that situation around, but I do know there is one that's been here all the way through, and he has a touch of the untouchable today. That's what he's here for. That's what the message was last night, and I'm here. You still got a word from the Lord, and the word is there is a touch, there is a healing touch, there is a delivering touch, there is a powerful touch wherever you are today.
Oh, let me just grab it here this morning and talk to you about this man just a moment. Let me remind you of that disease that he was inflicted with, and just by what I'm calling just a terrible malady. There came a leper. No name, no history. We don't know who he was. We don't know where he came from. We don't know anything about him. Because really, that doesn't matter. Who he was, who he had been, was not important anymore because of what he had become. What he had become had caused us to forget what he had been. There may have been a day when he was a productive member of society. There may have been a day when he was a productive member of the congregation. There may have been a day when he was something else, but what he had become now dominated everything else. And how many times has that happened in the house of God? But we forget what was because of what is, and because of what we have allowed is our circumstance to make us become. We have lost the days when we felt the presence of God. We've lost those days when we danced under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We've lost those days. We've forgotten those days when the sun shined in our life, because of what we have become has made us forget what we were, what God had done for us before, and where we once were with the Lord. This man now has a deadly disease. It's a death sentence that's been passed over him. It's not going to get better. You can hope, you can smile, but sir, when you hear that pronouncement, he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is going to get me someday. I'm not going to be able to last in this forever. And maybe you're sitting here today and you smile on your face, but you know, and I can't keep this down any longer. It's somewhere in the back of your mind. I know this is going to get out of hand someday, and this is going to be what takes me down. That disease was so defiling, so deadly, so domineering that when God sought for a means to illustrate the awesomeness and the awfulness of sin, that leprosy is what he used as a living illustration of the degradation of sin. That's how defiling that leprosy really was. And now this man is physically disfigured. He's marked by his circumstance, the leprosy. It began to eat away at the extremities. He'd lose fingers and lose toes, a foot or a leg, or something's gone. He's marked by the leprosy. And how many sit in the house of God today marked, disfigured by the circumstance in life? You got a smile, but it never goes to your eyes. You got a song, but it never comes from the heart. He is physically disfigured. He's religiously defiled. He can't come to church like he used to. He's not allowed. His circumstance has decreed him to be untouchable. He's not welcome in the choir anymore. He's not welcome there anymore, because not necessarily because of his own decision, but because of the disease that dominates his life. He's come to the place where he's socially despised. Everybody marks that man. They tell me that it came to the place, Brother Philip, that when leprosy got to that point, the stench got so bad that, according to the law, Brother Charles could probably tell us better than I can about it, but he said, Brother Charles, by the law, when you got to that point in leprosy, if you did have to go among the crowd, you had to maintain at least 6 feet away and let everybody know, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. Don't get any closer to me. I'm untouchable. Don't get any closer to me. Don't get any closer to me. Don't get it. And they said on a windy day that could be increased out to 150 feet. Nobody come within 150 feet of me. Oh, help me, Lord. Some of us that's right in the house of God, and we're right now, it's not physical, but we put up that boundary. Don't anybody come within 6 feet. And if it's on a bad day, don't get within 150 feet of me, because I am untouchable. It's a deadly disease. Read Leviticus 13. I don't have time to read it today, but it talks about a degrading descent. It always starts as something so insignificant. Go back and read it. Just like sin, it starts with something so simple, a scab, a boil, just a little skin affliction, just an irritation there, and it never stops at where it's at. It's just like sin. Once it begins to work, the leprosy, it's just a scab, it's just a boil, it's just a little thing. Might as well let that, that's not anything worth worrying about. But once it gains control, it spreads, and it affects the man, it affects his family, it affects everything about him until it's out of control. You got to get a hold of that root of bitterness while it's small. I know it's just a small thing, but it's going to dominate your life if you don't pluck that out. Once that gets a hold of you, it'll change you. It'll take control of your life. It'll take control of who you are. It'll work. It'll get in your house. It gets in the walls of your house. It'll get in your clothes. It gets in everything about you until everything about your being speaks of the disease that's ravaging your heart. Oh, I know what the charismatic says. God looketh upon the heart. It's not in the outward dress. Man looks upon the outward. Exactly. I can't see your heart, but I can tell by the way you're dressed. I can tell by what you're wearing. I can tell that leprosy is working in your heart, because that bitterness is causing you to wear things you'd have never worn. It's causing you to do things that you'd have never done. It's got in your clothes. It's got in your house until you put things in the house that you'd have never brought home before. Hey, you got things, you're watching things you'd have never watched before. Because it's that leprosy has begun to work. Now, if they tell me he became his own worst enemy because he lost feeling in his fingers. He lost feeling in his feet. He lost feeling in his extremities. And he would do things that would damage himself because he couldn't feel the pain of it anymore. Once bitterness has so grabbed your body, you put your hands in places that they don't need to be, and you don't feel the pain as that disease has begun to work. I don't know where this man was, but I know when Luke looked at it and he recorded it from the eye of a physician, he said he's full of leprosy. When he came, Luke said, he's a man full. Help us, Lord. Oh, you don't need to let that thing get to that place. We need to get that touch today. This man in this deadly disease, he's degrading. He's constantly, he's on descent. But somewhere in that, he made a desperate decision. And there came a leper unto him. He was unworthy, but he came anyway. He was unwanted, but he came anyway. What's going to happen if they figure out you're in that crowd? Do you realize what they're going to do to you? They're going to expose you. They're going to, hey, I'm dying. And when you realize I'm dying, I'm too desperate to be denied, I've got to go. This man realized that the potential reward that was worth the personal risk. It may cost me. I may have to stand up and walk down to an altar. I may have to stand up, but I'm dying where I'm sitting right now. This thing's killing me from the inside. It may not have gotten to the outside yet, but you know when your prayer life's not where it needs to be. You know when your personal worship is not where it needs to be. You got to make a decision in this meeting that I am going to come to Jesus. I'm not worried about what they think. Now this man with a terrible
malady has come to a very trying moment in his life. Watch him as he comes to Jesus. Mark his unusual faith. Fact has diagnosed him with an incurable disease. You're on your way out, sir. Fate has decreed that he is forever untouchable, that he's isolated, that he's separated. But faith has come alive in his heart. And faith said, I'm going back to church one more time. Faith said, I'm going to go one more. And faith gave him the fortitude to change the direction of his life. And I for somebody, get a hold of faith today and get the fortitude to change your direction. You don't have to die with it. I said you don't have to die with it. You don't have to follow it all the way to the end. You can turn it around and let the Lord work.
I don't know. I don't know. But I do know, they tell me that really, we heard how Jesus, the lepers are cleansed, and, but there's really only a couple instances in the Gospels where it's named. Most scholars say that at this point it had never happened. Jesus is coming down off the mount where he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and a lot of commentators say it had never happened. But something got a hold of that man. I'm going to believe what's unbelievable. I'm going to dare to do the impossible today. Oh, God, give us that kind of faith. I don't know how, but I know who. Watch his focus. Watch his ultimate focus. Watch him. Watch the personal pronouns in that verse. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, he's already blocked it out. His faith has changed his focus. And since the opening of the service last night, Brother Randy has come with a burden for us that we need to change our focus. It's not about us. It's not about them, but it's about him. This is where he is. Four times in that one verse, he's locked in on Jesus. He came to him. He cried out to him. He bowed before him. A society said, you're untouchable. Religion said, you're untouchable. His family said, sorry, Dad, we can't. You're affecting the family. You're untouchable. But he's not coming to them. He's coming to him. And that's where you've got to get this morning. I'm not here for you. I'm not here for them. I'm not here for what's going on. I'm here for him. He's my last hope. He's my last hope here today. He's the last chance I've got at turning this situation around. I love my pastor, but it's not about him. I love Brother Barnett, but it's not about him. I love my church, but it's not about him. I'm here, and I'm locked in on Jesus. I wish somebody today would forget everything else. I wish somebody today would look beyond this preacher, the God that I'm representing in the house this morning, and realize it's about me and him. It's not, I know you don't understand it. I know you don't think it's the right time, but it's not about me and you. It's about me and him. It's about me and Jesus. And even here, you see that underlying fear. If thou canst, if thou wilt, thou canst. Brother Joy, here it is. He still don't know. His focus is right. Faith's moving him. But there's a fear. What if this don't work? I know he can. I just don't know if he will. I am untouchable after all. You see, the Jews were taught from birth that leprosy was the stroke of God. When a man comes down with leprosy, it's the judgment of God. I know he can. But what if this is the judgment of God on my bad decisions? I know he can. But what if? What if? What if? But he comes anyway. You're my last hope. I say today, what have you got to risk? It's killing you. It's killing you where you're sitting. What have you got to risk? Exposure. It's going to eat its way to the surface. There's nothing you can do to hide it. Sooner or later, everybody knows. Sooner or later. But what if today? What if today's the day? He has every reason to say no, but what if he says yes? I said he has every reason to say no, but what if today he says yes? And really, it's cliched, but really faith is not just knowing that he can. Faith's believing that he will. If thou wilt, I know I'm believing, Lord. And here it is, the crux of the matter today, and I'm closing quickly. Here's a man with a terrible malady. Here's a man in a trying moment. It's the moment of his life, right, where somebody in the house is sitting today. It's a pivotal moment in his life. But he came, and he found a trustworthy master when he got there. Matthew tells us that great multitudes followed him when he came down off the mountain, and the multitudes are there when through the multitude, here comes a man. One man makes his way through the multitude. Who is this man? Does he realize he doesn't belong here? He's untouchable. He's unclean. But the crowd parts for him as he cries, unclean, unclean, unclean. And like the Red Sea, the crowd parts until this man is before the master and he kneels. Oh, I believe God would part the crowd if you'd make the move today. Oh, the crowd and the obstacle that are in your way. Don't worry about the obstacle. Just start out toward Jesus. And then to the delight of the man and the dismay of the multitude, Jesus touched him with a touch of compassion. Watch it. I believe it's one of the greatest miracles of mercy. Our master and Jesus moved with compassion. And Jesus moved with compassion. He saw the man within the malady. We can't get beyond the malady. But Jesus looked past the malady and he saw the man. He looked past the hurt and he saw a human. He looked past the suffering and he saw a soul. And he reached out and he touched. What's happened so many times? That touch and he's healed. But watch the scripture. I've thought the same thing. How many times I'd read it, but a while back I read it, Brother Joey, and I saw it differently. It wasn't the touch that healed him. It was the word that healed him. The touch wasn't about healing. The touch was about hurting. Think about it today. Ever since that diagnosis, he had been untouchable. I don't know how long this had lasted, but Luke said he was full of leprosy. Weeks, months, years, I don't know. But from the day the priest refused to touch him, the last time he was in the church, what he saw from the priest was an outstretched palm. You're unclean. I won't touch you. I wouldn't touch that situation. I wouldn't touch that. And from that moment, maybe he remembers the last time he hugged his wife, the last time he picked up those babies. I don't know how long it had been, but I do know according to the law, when the priest said, you're unclean, from that moment on, nobody's touched him. From that moment on, he's lived in living death, and nobody's touched him. Nobody touched him. And now he comes to the feet of Jesus. The healing will come later, but now I'm reaching for the hurting. And moved with compassion, he touched him. And for the first time in a long time, somebody touched him. I know it's coming. Healing's coming later, but right now, it's just a touch. Healing will come at the word. Healing will come when the word goes forth. But there is a God this morning. We have a great high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he's here this morning with the touch of the untouchable. I said he's here today with the touch of the untouchable. A touch that says I know. A touch that says I care. A touch that says I'm here. I understand. And Jesus touched him. Healing's coming. And I want you to know I care. I said deliverance is coming. And I want you to know I care. And such were some of you. Do you remember the day
when he came with a touch, when you were untouchable. And then there comes this testament of confirmation. I will be thou clean. I will. Can you hear it? Can you hear it above the din of the roar and the background noise of the adversary and that whirlwind that your mind has become as you try to search for answers through it all? And you feel like now I'm untouchable, nobody can get to me, but all of a sudden comes that touch, and with that touch I'm feeling what I never thought I'd feel again. And with that touch comes a promise, I will be thou clean. I will. Oh, the power when the I am says I will, but he's here today and you still have the word from the Lord that said I'll do it. I'll touch what nobody else wants to touch. It's a mess so bad that it stinks, Lord. Lord, there's a rock roll behind it, Lord. By this time, he stinketh, but I'll deal with the mess that nobody else wants to touch. All I need you to do is roll the rock out of the way. All I need you to do is remove the obstacle, and there is a transforming cure. And as soon as he had spoken, and as soon as he had spoken, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately, I said immediately, Immediately. It's a word that Mark loved, or he uses it at least 17 times in his gospel, at least 4 times in this chapter. And he said, one touch is all it takes. And immediately, what had bound him was over in an instant. Immediately, what had dominated him was over in an instant. Would you stand to your feet right now? Give God some glory and praise in the house of the Lord today. A touch for the untouchable.
Sister Rachel, come. Praise the Lord. There's two things. One, folks don't get touched because they don't feel their leprosy is all that bad. Even though every leprosy ever was bad, somehow humans feel like mine is not that bad. And so you never get the touch. Secondly, people feel that the cure is not that good. Never get touched. We got to get this cleared up. Sin is bad, and Christ is good. Oh, we've got in that mindset. The world out there is not that bad. Just, we're all just humans, not perfect. And the church ain't all that good. Oh, there's hypocrites everywhere you go. We're going to have to get this straight. Are you desperate this morning? Ever head bowed? Now the preacher preached this sermon. Brother Charles told me at the beginning of this morning, if it went to an altar call, to make an altar call now. That was his heart. That's this gospel preacher's heart. It's not about us. It's about him. You know how holy you're going to be? It depends on the proximity to Jesus Christ. That's how holy you'll be. Just how close you are. It's between you and him. Do you love that? Did you love that point? Sometimes our services, Brother Philip, are just like spinning our wheels because there's so many personalities and so many agendas and so many divisions and so many predetermined ideas. And we don't even have church half the time because of it. when we need to get our focus on Him. But it's His touch, woo, that takes us in the heavenly realm where the impossible becomes possible. While every head is bowed, God speak to you through the word this morning. You want to step out and come forward and let us pray for you again? Do you come in here this morning untouchable? I can never get over that. I'll never get healed of this. I'm going to have to endure this till heaven. Well, the Master's here today. And the question is asked. And Lord, if you will, you can. And as the preacher said, that I am sad, I will. And when he says I will, it's my will. There ain't enough devils in hell to change that. Did you hear me? There's not enough devils in hell to ride over top of his I will. Amen? Are you in here? I'm giving you an opportunity. We're going to make an altar. You need an altar right now? Right here it is. Pray, church. Lift your hand toward heaven. Anyone want to step out? Anyone get touched with this sermon? A little ray of hope spring up in you? Are you tired of being on the circle, on the outskirts, on the circumference of a move of God? Would you like to get into the nucleus of it? Move in. Amen? Come on. Anyone else? Anyone want to come for prayer? We're going to take the time. Praise God. Come right on. You just come and obey the Lord. Come on, we'll take a few minutes to pray. We've got plenty of time for Brother Charles. These girls.